Hi guys, podcast number 9. God, they're increasing all the time. The last one, of course, I did was about the Coffin Trail in Yorkshire, which I did. God almighty, we must have done it 16 years ago, I think, something like that. Anyway, we also went to York and I interviewed a guy that used to do the original York Ghost Walk, and we stood outside Treasurer's House, very close to the York Minster. And he told me the incredible story of the Roman soldiers going through the wall of the cellar of Treasurer's House, with witnessed by Harry Martindale. That's going to be the first part of this podcast, but it gets better. Because many, many years later, I was going to do DVD Ghosts of York. Now, having talked about Harry Martindale and his Roman ghosts for so many events that I've done, my favourite ghost story of all time, and I believe, to be quite honest with you, that it is probably the best ghost story in the world. And I knew that I had to have Harry Martindale on that York DVD. So I got his phone number, rang up, and spoke to his wife. And she said, "I'm ever so sorry, Mr. Felix, he's not very well at the moment. He's actually having a lie down. If you'd like to ring back a bit later, I'm sure I'll speak to you." So I rang him back about 6:30 and introduced myself. And he said, yep, I know who you are. He said, in fact, I used to do some of the ghost walks in York. And I said, "Well, I'm doing this DVD and I wondered if you'd do an interview with me." He says, "Well, I need to stop you there." He says, "Because I don't do it anymore. I don't talk about it anymore because I've had very serious heart problems. And I actually had a heart attack coming out of a talk about ghosts, and so I don't do it anymore." So I said, "Well, okay, well, thank you ever so much. It's been real privilege to talk to you, because can I just tell you, you're my hero." I tell your ghost story on every event I do. "So it's been a real privilege and a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much." And the phone went dead for a couple of seconds. And then this voice says, "Go on then, I'll do it for you." And I met Harry Martindale in the cellar of Treasurer's House, and we did that interview on the very spot where he saw his 20 plus Roman soldiers walk through that wall. It's a story that I will treasure for the whole of my life. It's an interview that I shall treasure for the whole of my life, because unfortunately 2 or 3 years ago poor old Harry passed away. But his story and his legend lives on, and that's what I'd like you to listen to now. And at the end of the interview, I said to him, "Harry, do you believe in ghosts?" He says, "Yes, but only the ones I've seen." Do enjoy this, guys. You really will. You'll love this. It is, in my opinion, the best ghost story and the most credible ghost story that you'll ever hear. Enjoy. And here I am in the centre of York, in front of Treasurer's House. With me this morning is Ray Alexander from the original York Ghost Walk. Now tell me, Ray, is not this the most famous ghost story in the world?
Yes, Richard, I think it is. And Treasurer's House is said to be the most haunted house in York. Mm. There's a story to be told about almost every room. But the story I want to tell you now is the most famous of all the ghost stories from York, quite simply because it concerns the world's oldest ghosts. It was 1953, and an 18-year-old apprentice plumber by the name of Harry Martindale was working in the cellar of Treasurer's House fixing some pipes for the central heating. He was standing at the top of a short ladder as he worked, and the only thing that was unusual on this particular occasion was that he could hear some way off in the distance the sound of a trumpet. He said it was a very ugly sound, discordant, rather like an old-fashioned car horn. But he didn't think much about it as he worked, except to wonder how it was that the sound could travel so far under Treasurer's House. But he noticed as time went by that the sound appeared to be getting louder, or perhaps nearer, because a few moments later a Roman soldier stepped through the wall right in front of the place where Harry Martindale was working. Harry Martindale fell off his ladder, he scuttled away into a corner, and he crouched there and he hid, as that soldier was followed by a troop of soldiers. He guessed there were more than 20 of them. He said they emerged through the wall against which he was working, crossed the cellar floor, disappeared through the wall on the other side of the cellar. Later, he was able to describe in great detail everything that he saw, but at the time, he said the only thing on his mind was to keep very still and absolutely silent, because, as he said, if I could see them so close and so clearly, one of them only had to turn his head to see me, and then what would happen? So he didn't move, he didn't make a sound, but he watched. He said the first thing he noticed about these soldiers was that they were very small. Not one of them came up to more than halfway on him. He said they were very shabbily dressed, not wearing what he would have thought was a proper Roman uniform at all. In fact, the only thing that was correct about their uniforms were their helmets. It was only their helmets that he could recognise instantly from history books. He said they were exhausted, as if they'd been marching for many days, with little rest and hardly anything to eat or drink. The second soldier was lying on the back of a great untidy cart horse. Harry wasn't sure whether the man was fast asleep or dead. And the strangest thing of all, he said, was that as they crossed the cellar floor, these soldiers weren't exactly marching across. They appeared to be walking on their knees. He could see nothing of them below their knees. He was asked if he would make this public. He did so. Reluctantly, it must be said, he told the local newspaper. But soon he was being interviewed by reporters from national papers, magazines, radio, television. He always told the story the same way, the way that I've told you now, and they nearly always made a joke of it because they didn't believe him. And Harry Martindale, who is a very honest and sincere man, was so humiliated by the way they treated him that for many years he refused to tell this story to anyone. But later, a discovery was made that enabled Harry to tell the story with much greater confidence, because under Treasurer's House they found a Roman road. Mm-hmm. It's called Via Decumana, and 2,000 years ago it headed out of Roman York, Ibaracum, as York was called then, towards the north. And as Via Decumana leaves the city now, it runs under Treasurer's House, and it lay just 15 inches, 38 centimetres, below the cellar floor. It means that what Harry Martindale saw was not a Roman army walking on its knees, but the ghosts of Roman soldiers marching on a road that was under the cellar floor. Wow. And I've got a bit of good news for you. Treasurer's House is owned by the National Trust. It's open to the public, and you can go there, and even if you wish, go downstairs and have a cup of tea in the cellar.
Oh boy.
Unfortunately, not the cellar where the haunting occurred. That room, I regret to say, is not open to the public. But with so many other ghosts in Treasurer's House, does that really matter?
Not really. Wonderful. Ray, that's fantastic. Thank you very much for that.
It's my pleasure, Richard.
I've just finished my cup of tea. I'm walking round the side of the Minster, and I just noticed in front of me Treasurer's House. This is where I'm heading for. I'm extremely excited. It's 6 o'clock and I'm going to meet Harry Martindale, the guy that saw the 15 Roman soldiers come through the wall in 1953. My hero. I can't wait. I'm going. Harry, I can't believe I'm standing here in the cellar with you. Because as I've said to you, I've been telling your story for 14 years on every ghost walk I do. Has it changed much down here?
Yes, for the simple reason that where we're standing now was the original Roman road, mm-hmm. but it was about 18 inches deep, and they dug it out. Yeah. And then, of course, this decking here has been put in for the public. And the other difference is, but the most important part was, that this ceiling is now entirely different. It was an arched ceiling, exactly like the ones there.
Barrel vaulting.
Yeah. This caused the trouble in the first place because I had no idea how many feet thick it was. My job was to come in here. I was doing some alterations to central heating. The old curator, he didn't like us in here. We were intruding on his territory. And I wouldn't say it was nasty, but it wasn't helpful.
Right. Were you in here alone?
I was alone, yeah.
And how old were you?
18.
Wow.
I had an electric light that I plugged in and then knocked a nail in the ceiling, and then that's my light that I had. A bit more powerful than that one was. And no one had said a word to me whatsoever about anything in this cellar.
Oh, you were here to do a job?
I was here to do some head central heating. I had to knock a hole through the ceiling there for a pipe. And I borrowed the cellar, borrowed the ladder, put the base of the ladder on the Roman road, leant it against the wall, then started to knock through the ceiling.
More or less where we are now.
Oh, yeah, exactly where, yeah.
We're on the spot.
Yeah, this is where, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea that the ceiling was several feet thick.
Mm.
So I was knocking all one day, and I had to go back to the workshop and get extensions to the chisels. Then I came down here the second day, same thing, knocking away through the hole here. And the time was, all I could say was just before lunchtime.
Right.
I started to hear the sound of a musical note, now, bang, 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 bang. And I thought, bah, someone's got a loud wireless.
All right.
And then bang, bang, bang. And then I realised that the sound was coming from the wall, and it was just a blare of a note coming out.
Right.
When I realised it was coming from the wall, I just glanced down. I was about four runs up the ladder. I glanced down, and in line with my waist here on the right-hand side, I saw the top of a helmet come out of the wall. Obviously, it was a figure underneath, but that's the first thing I saw, was the plumes on the helmet.
Yes.
Now, I knew whatever it was shouldn't have been in here. Wouldn't it? And anyone in here now, the first thing you do if you're frightened is you step away from whatever's frightened you.
Yeah.
I stepped back off the ladder, landing on my backside.
Oh, you and fell then, off it?
Oh, yeah. I stepped back off the ladder.
Yeah.
With shock, landed on my backside, then went backwards into that corner there.
Right.
Now, what had come out of the wall was almost a complete figure of a Roman soldier. I say almost because when he came out of the wall, you couldn't see it from the knees down.
It was legless.
Yeah. Until, yeah, in more ways than one.
Yeah, as you probably
until it got here, where the excavation had been, about 6 foot in diameter, then I saw it from the feet up. This was an important point that came up later.
Yeah. Because it was down in the...
Yeah, actually, the, like, walking
the well,
on
the trench.
It was walking on the actual surface of the Roman road, which is about 18 inches below.
Yes, yeah.
Now, he cleared the wall, and he was blowing on a short horn.
Oh, right.
And this was the thing I heard. Now, I'm there, and your hair does stand on end.
Yeah.
You can feel the back of the neck, because I thought, how on earth am I going to get from there to there?
To get out.
But once he cleared the wall, then, I mean, people laugh here, then a horse started to come out of the wall with a Roman soldier sat astride it. This was another important fact later, because when it's fetlocks, I saw from the road here, it had big bushy fetlocks. Mm-hmm. Now, the horse came across and followed the first Roman soldier. Sorry, you're there.
So it's through the wall there. This is the spot. Yeah, through here. Yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah, it was about here. This is where they came up. Yeah.
Right.
Now, once the horse cleared this cellar, I mean, you're laughing.
I'm not laughing because I can't believe I'm here.
Once the horse cleared the cellar, I went through the wall, then Roman soldiers came and they were walking in pairs.
Yes.
Now, I didn't go 2, 4, 6, but at least 20. Now, I heard the horse that it hit the surface of the road.
Right.
And then all I could hear from everything else was mumbling. Now, I thought, obviously what they were must have been very old indeed. But I thought, well, if they're Roman soldiers, they were tiny.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say they were only about 5 foot in height. But the horse, the way I've described that, was a great big cart horse. Mm. Especially with its bushy fetlocks. Yeah. They were carrying small shields, I don't know if it was on the right or left hand side, and then all of them were carrying like an oversized dagger, a short sword, and this was on the right hand side because this is the side I could see.
Yeah.
I could see them, so I thought all I had to do was just glance there and I'd had it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not one of them looked in my direction. So this felt a relief. As the last one went through the wall, and I couldn't hear or see anything else, then I made my escape. Now, here, if I describe the Roman soldiers, they all had the lovely plumes coming down the back of the neck with their helmets.
Yes.
And they came in, and I could see with the helmets that they had beards, they had hair.
Yes, across
the
hair.
Yeah, yeah. They all wore the shiny tops, and then round the waist it was like a skirt.
Yes.
And it had strips of leather all the way around. And then the thongs, which is another important thing later on, the thongs tied right up to below the knee. Now, I was told later on in questions, no, the thongs only went to the ankles.
Right.
But at a certain time, they tied the thongs up to the knees. When the last one had gone out and I couldn't hear or see anything else, then I made my escape. I sat for a while on top of the stairs where we'd just come down there, and the old curator, he saw me, and he says, "By the look of you, you've seen the Roman soldiers." And I think I said something like, "Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say anything?" Then I went from here, I left all my tools here, and they disappeared later. I never came back. I went from here to the firm that I worked for in Micklegate, near Micklegate Bar, told them what I'd seen and told them what they could do with this place. Then I walked from the firm that I worked for home, which is near the racecourse, and called in at my doctor's surgery on the way home, Dr. McGarrigle it was. I said, another important thing. And told him what I'd seen, and I was off work 2 weeks suffering from shock of seeing these Roman soldiers. Now, when I did my first television programme in the early 1970s, I said, "I'm awfully sorry, I cannot remember when it was when I saw them." And he came around and he said, "I can." He said, "It's here on your records."
Oh, really?
And it's on my medical records when I saw these on, and it was February 1953.
Harry, what you've just told me, in my opinion and in others, is probably the best ghost story in the world. And you don't know what a privilege it is for me to actually come here and meet you and be taken through this incredible story. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Because you appear to be so genuine on the telephone, as I did tell you, I've come out of retirement to tell you my story because I haven't spoken about it for a long time.
I know. In fact, when we spoke, you said to me, "I don't do it anymore." No. And I said to you, "Well, I do apologise for bothering you, and thank you for talking to me." And you said, "No, I'll come and do it. I can't believe it, Harry."
I said to my wife, I said, "Why did I change my mind?" But I mean, I can tell you what I can remember now, and I can only tell you in all sincerity because it's what I saw.
I know.
You can only say what you saw, and I can't make anything up. I can't make anything up about the outfits. And everything I tell you has been proved later on about how these Romans were and how they were dressed. And so much so that we know the time that they were, 390 AD.
One last question. After seeing what you saw and all the nonsense that people come out with about a load of old rubbish, too much to drink, overtired, vivid imagination, blah, 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 no such thing, what do you think? Are there such things as ghosts?
Yes. But I can only say and vouch for the ones I saw.
Harry,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's been such a privilege. Thank you.
What an incredible story that was. And what an amazing guy Harry Martindale was. May he rest in peace. When I'd finished the interview with Harry, I then went back upstairs and met the curator, the new curator, not the curator that Harry had encountered all those years ago. And he offered to take me around the rest of the building. And I'll tell you, some of the stories that guy told me makes me realise that Treasurer's House is probably one of the most haunted buildings in the whole of the UK.
Jim, interior of Treasurer's House. Now, Borley Rectory, for many, many years, has borne the title Most Haunted House in Great Britain. But let's be quite honest with you. I reckon this is a very close second, or let's be quite honest with you, could well be the most haunted property probably in the whole of Europe.
It really is, Richard. I mean, every room you go to, there is a ghost story associated with that particular room. And in fact, in the room we're in at the moment, there's two stories associated with it. So yes, there's plenty of stories associated with Treasurer's House here.
I mean, obviously, the Harry Martindale story, I mean, you know, in my opinion, the best ghost story in the world. But he's not the only person, is he, that's seen the ghosts?
Well, that's the really impressive thing about Harry's story. Not only the fact that so many of the things that he saw were discovered to be absolutely correct and true well after the event, when he couldn't possibly have known the facts, but that so many other people have as well corroborated his story. There was a visiting lady at a party held about 1900 by the then owner of the house, Frank Green, who attempted to go and wander off and have a look round the house, and found her way down to the cellar barred by a Roman soldier who stood there, didn't say anything, but just very firmly refused her entry. And when she went back to complain to Frank Green about the rude guest dressed as a Roman soldier, he knew nothing about it. There was a visiting American professor in the 1930s who also saw the ghosts down there. As we know from Harry's story, when he came out of the cellar having just seen the ghosts, the first thing the curator said to him was, "You must have seen the ghosts."
Soldiers. Yes.
So he knew about them as well. And also 3 years later, in 1956, the then housekeeper for the National Trust, Joan Mawson, went down there on a February afternoon, same time of the year as Harry was working there, to check on the boiler. And she saw the Roman soldiers there as well. Joan didn't say anything about it, because she was worried. She lived in the house with her small daughter, who was seven at the time, and she didn't want to scare the daughter. And it was only some 20 years later, when Harry's story became public, that Joan mentioned that she'd seen them as well, to which the daughter promptly turned around and said, "Well, I didn't know anything about the Roman soldiers in the cellar, but I've heard the horn that Harry's mentioned. I've heard that many a time. It's woken me up in the middle of the night." And of course, that girl's bedroom was four stories above the cellar where Harry saw the Roman soldiers.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you said something to me. You said there's two ghosts in here, in this room.
One of our oldest ghosts, one of our newest ghosts. This is the tapestry room. Mm-hmm. The story dates back to the 19th century, early 19th century. At that time, Treasurer's House had been subdivided and subdivided and further subdivided, and there were lots and lots of different people living in the house. And there were one married couple who let just this single room.
Right.
And I'm afraid he was a little bit interested in the ladies and took up with another lady and came back and announced one day that he was going to move in with his new lady friend. So his wife waited till he was sleeping in the bed in this room and stabbed him to death. We've never seen any blood or anything
like that.
But it's the room... It's very strangely, it's noticeably colder, because we do have measurements and sensors all around
to
check humidity. This room is always a little bit colder than the rest of the house, and several people have commented on being very uncomfortable in this room. Yeah. And then right next to us is what we call a love seat, an English love seat, so that two people can snuggle up. And this was only last summer. A young girl, aged about four, was here with her parents, and came in to the room and instantly ran over and sat down on the chair there, much to our horror, as it's very valuable.
Yes.
And the parents sort of said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I'm just going to sit and talk to this lady." And of course, no one was there. We couldn't see anyone. The steward couldn't see anyone. The little girl, no, the lady sitting here, was most insistent that there was a lady sitting next to her on the love seat.
Wow. You see, I mean, without getting into sort of great detail, children see things that we don't. Children have what we call imaginary friends, but they're not. They're seeing ghosts. Mm. So to be honest with you, if anybody's coming to York looking for a real history lesson and ghost stories, there's nowhere better.
This is the place to be.
Treasurer's House is the one.
It certainly is. They would have to get past a ghost to get in. We have stories of a frightening presence that lurks at the main entrance out in Chapter House Street.
Oh, yeah.
Several people have said that they felt, as walking past the entrance to Chapter House Street, that they were about to be hit, about to receive a blow. They needed to protect themselves. May be connected with a duel that took place in the 17th century, when a young lady who was resident at the house went out to a ball, had such a good time she was late back and found the gates barred, and she couldn't get back in. And her fiancé was so offended by this, he came round and challenged the owner of the house to a duel and killed the owner of the house in that duel. Mm. And ever since, people have talked about the presence there. They can walk, they can visit the cellar where Harry saw it.
Course.
They can walk around. They may find the smell of cigar smoke around. Frank Green, the man who basically created Treasurer's House as it is today, this is all his collection that we can see, was a cigar smoker, and several people have reported the smell of cigar smoke
He's still
in
here,
the rooms. And on many of the the pieces of furniture, there are little floor markings, little nails driven in front. That's because Mr. Green, Frank Green, said that's where I want my furniture to stay when he moved out and gave the house to the National Trust in the 1930s. And he warned us, he said, if ever anyone moves any of that furniture, I'll be back to haunt you. So we make very certain that it stays exactly where he wanted it to be.
That is amazing. Jim, thank you very much for letting us in, but even more so for helping us to arrange the interview with Harry, because that has made my year.
I'm glad to hear it, Richard. It was a wonderful experience for myself. I've been down in that cellar telling the story many times to visitors, and it was quite wonderful to hear it from Harry himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Thanks very much indeed.
My pleasure, Thank Richard. You.
And of course, if you want to know more, because obviously you can't go up to York at the moment, none of us can, to do a York ghost walk. But of course, I have created an audio visual with me wandering the streets of York doing the York ghost walk. And all you need to do is to download it. If you go to yorkghosts.com, yorkghosts.com, and you can do yourself a virtual tour of York. It's only $7.99. See you soon, guys.